flu season played out. Keith Peters reporting.
On the news shows this weekend, ABC's This Week will have Dean Young, the campaign strategist for Alabama Senate candidate Roy Moore. NBC's Meet the Press has booked Senators Bernie Sanders and Tim Scott. And CBS's Face the Nation will have UN Ambassador Nikki Haley as a guest. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Reading, 244-4423.
Hello once again, it's Boomer Tech Radio. Let me turn up my volume just a little bit there. I am Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
We are analog living in a digital world live today. As we promised we would try to do more often on this program, live at our flagship studios of KCNR in Shasta, Redding, Shasta County, Redding, California. Well, welcome. We are getting awfully close to the big day. Hard to believe how fast the year's gone by, but in some ways I'm really glad that 2017 is nearly done with, because I've had enough out of 2017. Brenda, you're frowning at your tablet.
Oh yeah, you know, anytime there's a new tablet, you got to fix some things to get them working like you were used to on the previous device. And this isn't making any sense to me because I don't know what the hell I'm doing, so I'm just poking around.
Uh-huh.
And it's not doing what I want it to do. Why can't you just do the osmosis thing? Why can't I add another Gmail account into this? It makes no sense to me. I could add my Hotmail account, which, of course, isn't even Hotmail anymore, but it still takes it. It's Outlook, but... And I don't get it!
So if an applied scientist struggles with her tablet... A show like this is needed. We don't necessarily...
Why can't I just add another Gmail account without all this extra whatever?
Let's tell people how they can ask their questions of this program. Now, we encountered some folks at a party that we went to, a holiday party, a lovely holiday party. Thank you very much, Carl and Linda Bott. And some people came up and they said, hey, we're fans of your show. And he went, my God, the audience just went up 25%. but they did the late, and I'm really sorry because I did not write down their names, and it was a chaos, you know, a room full of people with a sound level that was
off the scale.
But
we know you're listening.
Yeah.
So please email us.
And I'm about to tell you, because she said she sent an email and it bounced back, which tells me maybe that the spelling wasn't quite right. So here goes. If you want to send an email, and I check it several times a week, it is Boomer, as in baby boomer, so Boomer, tech, TECH, radio, just like the thing you're listening to if you are listening to us live. So Boomer Tech Radio at gmail.com is the address. And of course, if you want to catch up on the show, look at our past shows, see some show notes, boomertechradio.com. You can listen to the KCNR archives by going to kcnr1460.com/archives. Find our shows there. Podcasting We're all over the place. We are just media magnates here on this program.
I roll my eyes.
You can get us through the iTunes store, the Google Play, or on Stitcher, depending upon your device preferences. So, if you have, and I'm going to look up these. So, I'm going to ask you, Brenda, are you using the built-in mail app that came with your tablet, or are you using the Gmail app?
I was using the Gmail app is what I wanted.
Mm-hmm.
Success! I don't know what I did, but I punched enough buttons and poked around
okay.
enough that it
so you
worked.
Added
so when on
the
my,
account.
Yeah, on my Android tablet, there is, or on your Android tablet, or even your Android phone, there will be a little icon that has multiple little dots in it, and that's your Google apps all in one little button there. So if you tap that, touch that, it'll open up and it gives you things like Google, Gmail, Maps, Drive, Google Drive, music, photos, Hangouts, Play Movies, and TV are all in there. So I had touched on the Gmail thing, and you can add accounts. And for some reason, when I tried to do it earlier, I must have mistyped something, or it was not in the mood, or I didn't hit it right. Okay. It kept asking me for a password. What's your current password?
Well, it will do that when you're trying to set up a new account.
What password? Finally, I typed in the password of my tablet, and that seemed to do the trick.
Mm.
It didn't say which password. Type in your current password. Which password?
Well, I would assume it would be for the account that you are trying to add to the, if you're going through Gmail, it would be the password associated with that particular Gmail account.
Didn't work at first. So I don't know what I did, but I managed to make it work. The point is that you can go in to the Gmail app in the Google buttons and select Google apps. And add accounts that are not Gmail accounts so that when you go into, now when I hit the Gmail button, I go in and all of my accounts are open.
Yeah, so you can
and
see
I can
plans.
Just go between the different accounts and it'll update and show me all the email that I have in each one of those accounts. You can also have it display all of your email from any accounts, which is what I was looking for. That's what I was used to. Not that I can't change, but I also, for grins, there's a built-in app on the tablet that's Samsung's email
account. Yeah, yeah.
Yeah, email
and
thing.
Apple does the same thing with iOS.
Right, but it wasn't very evident on that one, even with the little hamburger, those three horizontal bars, being able to go in and add an account to that. And I don't see how to do that even in settings. It looks like you could only have one account at one account on that email app, so it's going bye-bye.
Well, this leads us to another topic. Often, I don't happen to know the answer right offhand, and it has now become a verb. I simply Google it, and I tell people that I don't know how to do a search. I never get what I want. I just get a bunch of ads, or I get this.
You're a genius at searching.
Well, the whole idea of a search engine. And this kind of came to me this morning, but it's something that I just do. When you're typing a query into a search engine, if anybody who is in the military knows this, that a pencil is not a pencil. It is a
lead holder.
Comma, mechanical, right. Type 1. You know, in other words,
catalog.
Strip out all of the supporting verbiage, and you go strictly with the nouns that are in the case of I would say for Brenda's search, I would go Gmail, add accounts, other services as the search string, and you should get that result at the top. Leave out the how do I or what if I want to or blah, 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 blah,
ask
a human.
It'll ignore all of that.
And, of course, you do the same thing with your Alexa. You can speak to it in plain English or language of your choice, but it can get very confused, too. If you break it down into noun searches with the most important term at the top and then more terms down below up to a point, you will get better search results. And that's how I Google, or on the very extremely rare occasions when I use Bing or some other search engine. Is Google harvesting my information? Yeah. Am I going to see stuff I searched for in 2 days showing up on a Facebook feed? Yeah. Which is annoying and a little creepy, but there it is. Brenda had something interesting happen. Gmail app that was asking for permission to read your mail?
Yeah.
And when you denied it,
it appeared just not to work.
Yeah.
Now, that is annoying. You should be able to, you know, essentially, that's an opt-in type of thing.
Right.
But I don't want, of course, Gmail is a free account, okay? So you expect a certain amount of
it. You are paying for it with your
right. And I completely ignore the ads on the site. I don't pay any attention to that. But it's it wants to read things.
So it can serve up ads.
Yeah, and what if I don't want that? You know, then you have to go.
Then you are not paying the fee in information that they demand for the service.
It just annoys me.
Now you are.
It's working now for some reason, yeah. Even though I tried to hit that as a deny thing. Now I can't get rid of the account in the email app. And even if I force stop the app.
You should be able to go into your. Now, you'll hear us refer to the hamburger menu. And what a hamburger menu is, you'll look. Usually it's in the upper right-hand corner of your screen.
Or left-hand corner.
It could be in the left-hand corner. It's usually three parallel horizontal lines, which suggest a sandwich.
Or three dots.
Or it can be also be three dots. Either of those should give you a drop-down menu. So in the case of our Casey in our chat room, which is up and running, by the way, if you look at the lower right corner, you will see three parallel lines, thin one in the middle, two thick ones, very suggestive of course, a hamburger, henceforth the name hamburger menu. And that is where you can customize your account if you sign into the KCNR chat room. But a lot of people haven't quite latched on to that icon identification, that instead of the word menu, the three parallel lines have become an international symbol. Well, why can't I just have it in English? Because not everybody using that app might be using English. So it's become a universal symbol, like the circle with the slash through it. Has become a universal symbol for don't go here. That's what the universal symbol now for a pop-up menu, pop-up or drop-down menu is.
So, hamburger.
The hamburger menu.
Yes.
So there's that solution in a nutshell. If you've got specific questions, like I said, this is not Kim Komando or Leo Laporte or any of those shows. We don't have the highfalutin sponsors those folks do. But we do our best to answer your questions if you drop us an email. Or if you pop in, since we're live, if you pop into the KCNR chat room, KCNR1460.com/listen and then hit listen and chat. Or, of course, you can pick up you can go old school. Pick up your handset of choice and dial 530-605-4567. Let it ring, because if I'm in the middle of talking, I may have to toss it to Brenda so I can lean back, because I lack a dedicated engineer. I lack any sort of engineer. I am the engineer. Anyway, we will take calls gladly. It have done so, and we've got a couple of loyal listeners who do check in from time to time.
Now, in messing around with this, back to my email situation, I cannot get rid of that account, apparently, in my email, Samsung email app, but I can force the app to stop working.
You should be able to delete the account.
Yep.
Or modify the account. There's an edit function hiding in there somewhere.
There should be one. Yeah. I just haven't discovered
it's
it yet.
It's in the settings for that. Now, because on most tablets you have two places where you can look at settings. Within the app itself, there should be a menu. But on a lot of tablets, and this is where I would look on your Samsung, Brenda, is you go into the gear menu from your home screen. You swipe down and touch the little gear symbol, which opens up tablet properties, and then go to apps and look at app properties. And I'll bet you that there will be a button somewhere in that menu that says accounts. and you should be able to go there and delete the account. If I have to bet, I'll bet that's where you'll eventually find it. You have to dig around for some of the stuff. Again, feel free to do a little bit of searching.
Yep, and there's always Google online where you can say, how do I on this device? And typically there's some information available. Mm-hmm. Nobody sends out a user guide anymore. It's all online.
Yeah, it is, as a matter of fact. And that's frustrating to a lot of people. Now, there are folks like your mom who, I will never have one of those things in my house, right?
And if I do have one of those things in my house, no one must know that I have it. That was the most interesting thing she said recently.
Does she think that, she's heard a horror story somewhere of somebody who can watch your every movement or something.
I'm not sure where that came from.
It is possible if you have a laptop that is not secured for somebody to remotely access it, but you have to be really sloppy to let that happen.
Yeah, I don't know what her understanding, what drove that. She has an impression. This, after all, is the same person that thought a dishwasher filled up completely with water like a washing machine.
Oh, you went
so
to open the door.
So when I went to open the door in mid-cycle and she yells at me, don't do that. And it's like, why? Well, isn't water going to go all over? No. So that it was kind of a laughable thing. I said, didn't you ever watch the dishwasher model at Sears to see how it works?
Yeah, because as soon as you open the door, the safety switch kicks in and the pump turns on.
Right.
Yeah, so it's not going to squirt water all over
you. Well, no, you're not going to have a flood of water if you don't. So she'd never open a dishwasher in mid-cycle because she thought it was completely full of water. It's like, well, you know, that's the way a washing machine, a top-load washing machine works, so there's a certain logic there.
There is. So let's look. By the way,
how it goes.
When I'm looking for show story ideas, my place to go is the Flipboard app, and you can get Flipboard on your iOS device. You can get it on your Android device. And what's neat about Flipboard is that you can create your own custom magazine and curate articles to share with your friends, which is exactly what we do here on Boomer Tech Radio. So if you download the Flipboard app and then you subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio, put it all together, you will find our magazine. And if you subscribe to it, the little number goes up and I get a big smile on my face. So we're going to run through some of the articles and just kind of give our opinions on them. And the cover article for the moment, until I add something else, reminded me of a classic movie starring Charlton Heston. Now, stick with me here. After he got done doing all those Bible movies, Charlton Heston did a whole string of films in the 1970s, like The Omega Man. He did Planet of the Apes, of course. And one of the most memorable of them, and a term that has worked its way into our day-to-day lexicon, is, of course, Soylent Green. Remember that film?
Mm-hmm.
Interestingly enough, you know who the bad guy in Soylent Green was? It was Chuck Connors, the rifleman. He was the hired muscle. But the premise of Soylent Green was an overcrowded, polluted planet with food shortages and riots on a regular basis. The police were extremely abusive. Wait. the main theme of the movie was that when people died, their bodies were recycled into protein to make the Soylent Green, and this was a big secret.
Right.
You know, because it was pretty horrifying. And
right.
They're eating people and stuff like that. Well, one of the co-stars in the film was one of the last screen appearances by the great Edward G. Robinson. Remember him? Very classic film actor from the gangster film eras. And this was, I think, his last screen appearance because he was quite elderly at the time. So he's perfect for this role. He was the lead character's roommate in his run-down ratty apartment. And the interesting thing was they had a bicycle generator and a bank of batteries. Does that sound familiar? In order to have light in the apartment, because there was no central electricity, he had to hop on the bicycle and ride the bicycle for a while to charge up the battery so you'd have some light in the apartment. One of the things about the society was that when you reached a certain age, you were encouraged to take part in an assisted suicide. Now, remember, this is the 1970s when this film was made, when I think it was Richard Matheson, now somebody will probably correct me on that, wrote the book Make Room, Make Room, which was the basis for Soylent Green. So the society had these parlors, very elaborate, very fancy, very ornate, where you could go when you decided that you wanted to end your life. And the whole thing was you went into a room with these beautiful scenes of the way that Earth was before it got all messed up.
Right.
And in this very touching scene, Robinson's character goes in. He is surrounded by these beautiful images and fantastic music, and it's a large, almost holodeck experience for him. And during the course of that, he is injected with a lethal dose, so he slips away peacefully.
Harry Harrison wrote.
Harry Harrison, yeah.
Make Room, Make Room.
Oh, yeah. Harry Harrison wrote some great stuff. And so people focus on the Soylent Green food part of it, but that's scene right there where Robinson commits, you know, voluntary euthanasia.
Right.
Very, very compelling because Heston's character gets there just a fraction, just a few seconds too late to try to talk him out of it.
Right.
And then he follows the corpse through the factory, and that's how it becomes revealed that everybody who dies is being turned into food.
Right.
Well, according to the Next Web, and if you look at the picture for the story titled Literal Death Machine Offers a Way to Peacefully Slip Out of Experience, it has this capsule sitting in the middle of a very pastoral scene on a farm. And that's what brought the movie to mind. There's a company called Sarco, a literal machine that is designed to make, as the song goes, suicide painless. And how it works is that you get in
that
this thing.
That was the theme to
MASH.
To MASH.
Yeah. If you get in this thing, and the whole idea here is that you can change your mind up until the point where you've actually lost consciousness. But the way it works is that it, just like they do with euthanasia for animals, it replaces the oxygen in the capsule with nitrogen. And you slip out, unconsciousness within, after about a minute. Okay, it says, what does it say here? Within a minute, you are becoming hypoxic. Within 5 minutes, you're unconscious. And within a few minutes, you lose consciousness. Within 5 minutes, you are dead. But you can either black out the windows, or you can presumably have this thing in some kind of 3D environment, so you pass on amid a beautiful
scene. Pleasant environment. Perceived pleasant environment.
So does this make it easier for people maybe who are not making rational decisions to give up and check out? It opens a whole lot of moral quicksand here.
Oh, yeah.
Because a sound mind is relative. And these are legal issues that
are still in discussion.
We are wrestling with. California has allowed an assisted suicide. This company, Sarco, they're running up against some very interesting legal hurdles. Are you allowed to make that final decision? And there's a whole group of people who say, yes, I do demand to have ultimate control over the end of my existence.
Isn't that kind of like the assisted suicide laws that are in place now?
So this device, instead of injecting stuff in your arm or taking the pills or something like that, which can be notoriously unreliable, this is a pretty foolproof method. Is it right? Is it wrong? These are the real murky areas that high technology is pushing us into. When does your life become not your life? It's real sticky areas.
Still, that's a human experience thing.
Yeah. It's the ultimate
not exactly
personal
a tech
experience.
Question.
But the Dutch have been doing. But the device is interesting, and like I said, the tie-in with the movie from what year was Soylent Green produced? Was it 77? Something like it might have been before that. Might have been when I was still in high school. But a real interesting premise in that movie. On several levels. So it's one of those films that if you've never seen it in all these years, probably
73,
yeah, because I remember I was in school. So might be worth digging out and watching.
It's kind of interesting. The thing about it is it's somewhat timeless.
Yeah. Some of the technology in it is a little bit hokey, but the themes, and I think there was a remake done, but it probably wasn't nearly as good as Charlton Heston's version, because he was a heck of an actor. Hey, we're at the bottom of the hour break. Boomer Tech Radio. I'm Bob. She's Brenda. Call in 605-4567. Pop into the chat room, KCNR1460.com. Back after the break.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
We're Billy and Patrick for Kia's Light Up the Holidays sales event. We both own Kias and we love them.
Light up your holidays and make no payments until after the new year on Reading Kia's award-winning lineup.
Great deals are waiting for you right now in the 2018 Kia Sorento, the highest-ranked midsize SUV in initial quality in 2017. With available 7-passenger seating and all-wheel drive, Kia Sorento sets the bar a little higher.
The 2017 Kia Niro Hybrid is the highest-ranked small SUV in initial quality. The fuel economy is outstanding, and like all Kias, it's backed by America's best warranty.
Test drive a 2018 all-wheel drive Kia Sportage, the SUV that can tackle the toughest roads with confidence. It's a KBB Best Buy.
And the 2018 Kia Soul is ready to light up your holidays, too. Kia Soul, the highest-ranked compact multi-purpose vehicle in initial quality in 2017.
For J.D. Power award information, visit jdpower.com.
Complimentary lifetime oil changes with every new Kia purchase.
Reading Kia. Facebook, YouTube, Twitter, Instagram, ReadingKia.com.
What does it take to be called the best of the North State? More importantly, what does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes a business ownership, management, and staff that work together to let their customers know that they're not just customers, they're family. Since 1982, Orchard Nutrition Center has held to that commitment. Their commitment to bring to you the best possible products at the lowest possible prices. To never buy closeouts, overstocks, outdated, improperly formulated, or otherwise stressed merchandise. To provide you with a trained professional staff to help you make the right product decisions for the health of you and your family. To listen, to respond, and to always say thank you. Because we realize that we're all in this together. What does it take to be called the best in the North State 12 years in a row? It takes you. Thank you from everyone at Orchard Nutrition Center, Cypress Square Shopping Center, Reading.
If the American people ever allow private banks to control the issuance of their currency, first by inflation, then by deflation, the banks and the corporations that will grow up around them will deprive the people of all their property until their children wake up homeless on the continent their fathers conquered.
We hold these truths to be self-evident, that all men are created equal, that they are endowed by their Creator with certain unalienable rights, that among these are life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Revolution has started.
Sovereign Minds, now on Sundays, 10 to noon.
This is Mayor of Anderson, Baron Browning, wishing my nephews, Tyler and Austin Nelson, and all of the troops, both home and abroad, a Merry Christmas, and a Happy New Year. As a Marine Corps veteran, I want to thank you personally for your service to our great country.
This Veterans Holiday Salute brought to you by Simpson University, Powerhouse Solar, Orchard Nutrition, and Dan's Optical.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
Back with more of the tech news you can use every weekend on Boomer Tech Radio. We'll be checking the chat room here in just a moment. And of course, you can call 530-605-4567. Email Boomer Tech Radio. That's three words all run together. Boomer Tech Radio at gmail.com. A little interesting side note here before we move on ahead. Sometimes even when you look up the instructions for, say, how to remove an email account from your app, from your tablet, the instructions might be a generation or two out of date, which is what I think we just ran into here. So you do have to poke around a little bit, look at a couple of different sources when it comes to how to get a particular task accomplished. There's no one single unifying set of instructions for everything. Unfortunately, we're still sort of in, well, it's like cars have become. You know, if you don't have the manual for a particular car, you can't get the windshield wipers to work or the blinkers going because every car has stuff in a different place, and that's how it is with tablets. A couple of cryptocurrency stories that we wanted to touch on. A company called Plexcorp, P-L-E-X-C-O-R-P-S, is defrauding investors. This, according to the Securities and Exchange Commission, $15 million was invested by folks to get Plex coins, which the SEC says are bogus. The company says are legit. U.S. government says it's a full-fledged cyber scam. So these are people who've gotten excited about the potentials of cryptocurrencies. I have people listening to this program who swear by cryptocurrencies, but it's at this unsustainable level. I mean, this week, Bitcoin hit 15,000 per unit.
Yeah, well, dropped off very quickly.
And then dropped very quickly, thousands of dollars within a matter of hours. So it's extremely volatile. The whole idea, the lure, this is the new gold rush. This is the tulip mania. This is, you know, take the everybody remember the dot-com bubble? How many fortunes just vanished? How about real estate when those prices tumble down? I just don't see how this can be sustained. And there's people who say, oh, no, nothing can go wrong. This is the future. And I understand, you know, I have a little better understanding of the tech behind cryptocurrencies. But sooner or later, the wheels are going to have got to fall off. The company behind Plexcorp promised a 1,354% promised a profit. Now, when you see that, because any investment by its nature has to incorporate a risk factor. And when you are promised a 1,000+ return on your investment, that's a pyramid scheme.
first cut, the people at the top of that food chain are going to make some money, and the rest are going to lose money. That's how it has to work. Anyway, U.S. government looking at Plex Card. If you put some money into Plex Card, you Plex Coins, you may be looking to lose out. Same with Bitcoin. Don't put anything into Bitcoin that you aren't willing to toss out the window. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. It's like any other potential investment. You can lose your shirt.
Yeah. A lot of people,
same thing with rare metals. It's the same kind of idea.
Now, I would point out, see, this is exactly how the California gold rush worked. All the people who came to California in search of the easy money for the gold, all you had to do was walk up in the hills and pick it up. We remember that from history. We also remember that a lot of people died pretty sad deaths chasing the yellow metal.
Mm-hmm.
Who were the people who profited?
The suppliers.
Who were the companies that still exist to this day? Hello, Levi Strauss.
Yes.
They supplied durable pants to the miners made originally from sailcloth.
Yep.
Because they had all these ships sitting in San Francisco Bay.
Abandoned.
That had been abandoned. So they harvested the sailcloth off the ships. The hulls were run ashore and burned. There's still remnants of that. But that's how they started making these very durable pants. And eventually they switched to a blue denim. But originally, Levi's, the riveted pants, were made from sailcloth because it was a durable canvas. Yet another voice has been added to the chorus, calling Bitcoin a dangerous bubble. University senior economist Stephen Roach. He also used to be Morgan Stanley's Asian chief executive officer. He says that cryptocurrency is a dangerous speculative bubble by any shadow or stretch of the imagination and a toxic concept for investors. So a lot of people are trying to cash in on this, and when it pops, it's going to be amazing.
Oh, there's always risk in any investment.
Yeah. There are moves to begin trading Bitcoin futures. And this is when it's, you know, as soon as you take that step, speculating on margins, on futures.
Trends.
Oh, yeah.
Values.
You're starting to feed fuel into this fire. Now, again, I've got people who absolutely swear by cryptocurrencies because it's a way to stick it to the man. Keep the government out of my pockets. Well, governments are starting to look at cryptocurrencies, and blockchain technologies have applications besides as a monetary unit. It's a chain of custody.
Right. And also security.
Yeah. So 2017 started with a value of around $1,000 a year ago. And now the latest, as of the printing of this, the publishing of the article I'm reading here, was over 11,000. Now, interesting, the Winklevoss twins. Now, you may remember them if you ever saw the movie The Social Network. They had attempted to gain control of Facebook back in the college days.
As they claim they were the original originators of the concept.
And they were lawsuits and all this stuff. They got paid off for an unknown amount. Well, they invested about $11 million in Bitcoin 4 years ago. Now the hoard is worth over $1 billion. But that's a number in a computer that can go boop in a nanosecond.
Not that your cash can't either, but it is a little safer and backed by some things. Bitcoin is not the only blockchain-type currency that's out there. There are many others, one of which is called Ethereum, which I think is the greatest name ever.
Yeah.
Because it does. It well taps into the ethereal nature of these things. But Ethereum now has a game that is actually threatening the integrity of Ethereum's site in terms of overloading it, called CryptoKitties.
Gotta love this.
I know. It's Cryptos. It's not a K. It's a C-C-R-Y-P-T-O, Kitties, just like You'd spell kitties normal.
Okay. So remember Tamaguchis? They were the little digital gadgets, and you had a pet inside there that you would raise. These are sort of like virtual Tamaguchi.
Right. You can actually breed digital kittens. Oh, my gosh. And so it's pretty crazy. It's only been around a few weeks, this particular game, and it has actually netted some people a fair amount of very real money.
Mm-hmm.
Not necessarily cryptocurrency, although I imagine that they have it in there. So it's a digital goods trading game, and it basically is looking to, you can purchase, trade, and breed digital kittens, and there's not a goal of the game particularly. The idea is to look for or create rarity in traits.
Yeah.
So it's they have only so many of these rare cats around, and if you manage to breed one, then you could be in for a fair amount of money.
It becomes a seller's market.
Right.
Because just like anything else, the whole secret of all of this is the non-duplicatability.
Right.
It's a digital asset that cannot be easily duplicated.
Right. So nobody can steal it from you, if you will. You
right.
own it. And you can get into this game. You can actually go in and with, you know, non-cryptocurrency, buy a kitten. And there's a excellent article on Mashable about how this all works. It's a rather complicated, but it does have elements of a pyramid scheme to it. The people that are in there earlier stand a better chance of having the rare traits, and the, because of the multiple generations of kittens that are in there. And so if you're going to engage in this, be very careful and watch your pocketbook,
right.
because you could very quickly end up spending many hundreds of dollars doing these things and really not getting much yield. But in the time that it's been going in the past few weeks, the kitten sales are up to around $3 million, equivalent of $3 million. That's amazing. I mean, this article was written, I got to look at this, where, come on, where's the... And he didn't put within the, so it's been the CryptoKitty game has been around for a couple of weeks, a couple of weeks.
Okay, here's the power of, this is the warm, fuzzy moment that I'm about to share with you, Brenda. I just got on the BoomerTech Radio at Gmail account a shout out from Joe and Lainey. And those were the delightful folks we met at the party, and we couldn't, because it was so chaotic, we didn't catch their names.
Yay, we know you're still listening.
Yeah, now we know your names, and we know you're still listening. Awesome. Thank you very much. And they asked some questions that we'll probably get into, I don't think we have time this hour. They asked a couple of really good questions about tablets and ideas for gifts. And then there was another
question.
We'll come back to that. But thanks, guys. And we're going to talk about the tablet question that you asked.
So are we back to CryptoKitties?
Yeah, go back to CryptoKitties.
Okay. Like any other kind of cryptocurrency, you need a wallet. And to have your digital wallet, and they're one of the easiest ones to use out there, apparently, is a MetaMask, according to this article. We're not familiar with cryptocurrencies. We don't have any experience with it with them ourselves. And, you know, you do have to have either Ethereum, existing Ethereum, or, you know, real money to get into this game. And so it's a bit of speculation. And the recommendation in this article, with someone apparently does have experience, is to start with a tenth of an Ethereum, which is about $50, close to $50. At least it was at the time this article was written. You can go to CryptoKitties and create an account and all of these things. So initially the game may look pretty boring, but you are able to get in there and create these things. And apparently, according to the CryptoKitty Dex, which is the CryptoKitty Tracking Index, at the moment there's only 81 Maine Coon kitties and about 156 Jaguar kitties. Those are the rare ones.
Yeah.
But if your kitty ends up having a rare trait, then that makes it more valuable. And so this is a digital game.
Yeah.
Probably some methods of chance in there as to what it is you get. So it also recommends taking a look at the different generations,
mm-hmm.
Levels of the CryptoKitties that you're going to invest in, and they make some recommendations in this article. So that's on Mashable, and all I did was Google CryptoKitties, and that was one of the hits close to the top of the list.
Now, what struck me about this is that this is not a new concept to me because you've heard me mention before on this program the online virtual world Second Life. One of the things that you can do in Second Life is get involved in breedables, which are digital, uniquely signed assets that cannot be duplicated, and you pair them together. There's an algorithm for pairing them together to generate traits. There are wolves, there are kitties, there are horses, there are something called a maru, which is a fictitious creature. But the whole idea is that there's a whole network of people who breed and create unique offspring, which they then trade.
Digital creatures.
Digital creatures.
And I might add that Second Life also is very involved in very real charities.
Oh, yes.
That are non-virtual. For instance, there's the Walk for Life or whatever
that is. The Relay for Life.
The Relay for Life. Thank you. I knew that wasn't right when I said it. And that actually generates real money that goes to the American Cancer Society in our real world.
In 12 years' time, Second Life has generated in excess of $10 million real dollars for American Cancer Society.
Right.
Pretty impressive.
That is very impressive.
While we're on the subject of bitcoins and virtual things like that, Steam, which is the gaming network operated by Valve, Steam, for a time, was accepting Bitcoin. They have now decided that due to the volatility and increased transaction costs, because like an ATM fee, there's a brokerage transaction fee that you pay that when they originally started was around 20 cents per transaction. That has mushroomed up to $20 per transaction because it was a percentage of the value of a Bitcoin. So Steam has announced that they will no longer accept Bitcoin in their transactions because of the volatility, because the price may change in the next 3 minutes. So if you list something for a certain price, that value could, you know, you could end up getting only a fraction of what you thought you were getting. So look for, you know, the Microsoft store was accepting Bitcoins. Look for them to drop that very soon. I would not be surprised if they quit doing that as well. So this could be trouble ahead. If you can't actually spend the darn things on something,
right.
Now the value is taking a tumble.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Things aren't listed
There's
as having
There's no longer a viable means of exchange.
Having a value in Bitcoins, and perhaps things will have to have changing values in Bitcoins to reflect the volatility of that. One go back about CryptoKitties is you can go to CryptoKitties.co, and they have their own website, and it's relatively great. It says, CryptoKitties is a game centered around breedable, collectible, and oh-so-adorable creatures we call CryptoKitties. Each cat is one of a kind and 100% owned by you, and it cannot be replicated, taken away, or destroyed. And so that's the cryptocurrency concept there, is that ownership, uniqueness, and ownership.
One of the things about cryptocurrencies is that they have become the exchange of choice for hackers who indulge in ransomware. They will feed a virus into a computer system and encrypt it, lock it up, and say, pay us X amount of dollars. This is happening to some people, too, but hospitals, local governments,
right.
agencies have been exposed to this hack. And hats off to Mecklenburg County, North Carolina. They have stood up. Instead, you know, a lot of these hospitals and things that had to be back online right away paid the money. Well, that just feeds the fire, doesn't it? Well, Mecklenburg County has stood up and said, no, we aren't going to pay the money. And they are, the ransom was $23,000. They'll be paying more than that to restore their computer systems from secure backups. But they're taking a stand against the hackers, and they're asking people in the county to bear with them while they restore their computer systems and beef up their firewall. So hats off to these people for not knuckling down to what amounted to a cyber terrorist attack.
Well, and it's a ransom-type thing.
Yeah, ransom, so yeah.
A entity like the hospital has to spend real dollars to buy the cryptocurrency that the thieves are looking for. So even though cryptocurrency may end up losing value or what have you, the thieves, the joke's on them in that capacity, that the value of the cryptocurrency may drop. But that doesn't mean that the value or the money that the entity, the tax, like in this case the hospital, that money's gone forever.
Yeah.
And they had actually had to spend that real money.
Yeah. So this county, you know, they said their services are going to be disrupted for a few days while they restore their backups, but rather than pay the fee and still be open to a future attack, or maybe not even get their stuff back at all, because in many cases that happens. The hackers say, ha ha, we got your money, off we go. You know, and you have no, because it is done in an anonymous way. Now, cryptocurrencies can be traced, but because it jumps from jurisdiction to jurisdiction across international boundaries, makes law enforcement and capture of the perpetrators very, very difficult, because the money, the value, can easily cross international boundaries. And that's where a lot of countries are cracking down hard on the legality of cryptocurrencies, because it is facilitating tax dodging and illegal activities. So we're about 5 minutes away from the end of this hour. Let's see here. Article on, let's see here. Yeah, we talked about the cryptocurrency that's being the scam, Plexcore. We talked about that. AR smart glasses. Now, this is something that's really coming up. Basically, it's a heads-up display built into an ordinary-looking pair of glasses, which, you know, everybody was creeped out by Google Glass because you had this kind of Borg-looking headset perched on your noggin.
I think it was the fact that people knew the camera was on all the time.
Right,
that was the freaky part.
Well, of course, there are glasses with cameras built into them, but, of course, Google Glass, trying to be upfront about it, had a little blinky light, little blue blinky light on the Google Glass, say, yes, this is recording, and people took exception to that. But before long, we're going to see augmented reality smart glasses, and not for nefarious purposes, but, for instance, let's say you have an engineer or a surgeon or somebody like that, a head-mounted display with real-time information. Now, the military's been playing with this for a while. Fighter pilots have had heads-up displays literally since the 1970s.
Mm-hmm.
The F-14 Tomcat had a heads-up display. It was a tilted piece of glass you looked through that gave you targeting information without taking your eyes off of the sight outside.
Right. It's not like they had heads-up displays in the form of glasses.
Right, right.
This net effect was the same.
But we've been talking about virtual and augmented reality headsets for quite a while. But now we're getting to the point where the displays are getting compact enough, lightweight enough, power efficient enough to be built into an ordinary looking pair of glasses.
There was one question. What is the best VR headset out there if you want to buy something for somebody this Christmas?
I would actually, the price of the original Oculus Rift has dropped down now. Folks, if your kid is asking for a VR headset, do not get the $39 piece of crap if you value your kid's eyesight. Because the only way they can make a virtual reality headset for $39 is to use the cheapest possible pieces of plastic for the optics. Is this something you want parked in front of your kid's eye for hours at a time?
Don't think so.
If you do want to save some money, go with maybe a Samsung Gear headset, which uses a high-end smartphone. But Oculus Rift, which takes a pretty potent computer to run, is probably the VR headset that is got the best user base.
And although there's not a lot of content, it's growing every day.
Wilbur Tech Radio will be back right
it
after
takes
these.
You to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model, and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Redding.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron Zaronstra. President Trump was in Jackson, Mississippi today to dedicate the two museums, the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum and the adjacent Museum of Mississippi History.
These buildings embody the hope that has lived in the hearts of every American for generations, the hope in a future that is more just and more free.
Civil rights activist Merle Evers says supporters of the Mississippi Civil Rights Museum are making a statement.
This is my state. This is my country, and I refuse to turn it over to anyone who dares to challenge that.
Some black leaders, including civil rights leader and Georgia Congressman John Lewis, boycotted the event, saying the president has sown racial division instead of racial harmony. Arab foreign ministers arriving in Cairo to attend an emergency meeting to formulate a unified response to President Trump's decision this week to recognize Jerusalem as Israel's capital. The meeting takes place amid a wave of anger and protests in the West Bank and Gaza Strip, and more protests are likely.
Today's the third day of rage that the Palestinian Authority declared following Trump's speech, and so we should expect to see more demonstrations throughout the West Bank, more clashes with Israeli troops. But those, according to the Palestinians, they want to be sort of low-key and to seem as a grassroots movement from the ground up. There's no real intention or hope that this will derail into widespread violence.
Firefighters in Southern California were on high alert for dangerous fire potential even before the first blazes broke out this week. Out-of-control fires destroyed nearly 700 buildings and forced hundreds of thousands of people to run from six big fires that spanned from Ventura County all the way down to San Diego and has burned over 260 square miles across the region. News and analysis at townhall.com.
You know, you can get tremendous pain relief benefits with Relief Factor without any of the negative side effects of ibuprofen. Why? Because this is natural, healthy stuff. There are no side effects. There's no prescription drugs. There's no chemicals. Just good, healthy dietary supplements that unleash your own body's natural healing powers. 80% of people who start with a quick start, just $19.95 for three whole weeks, end up getting more Relief Factor. You should give it a try. Again, you have nothing to lose but your pain and the whole world to gain. $19.95 comes to 95 cents a day. That's less than a cup of coffee a day for pain relief. Go to relieffactor.com. Read all the testimonials. Find out about it for yourself and order that quick start. Just $19.95 or 95 cents a day for 3 weeks. Or you can call them. It's toll free. They can answer all your questions. 1-800-500-8384. That's toll free. 1-800-500-8384. Relieffactor.com.
Payless Shoe Source is putting its corporate headquarters in Topeka, Kansas, up for sale.
The Topeka Capital Journal reports the company is seeking $8.5 million for the headquarters amid rumors that Payless might leave Topeka. Payless emerged from bankruptcy in August. In early November, company spokeswoman Megan Spreer said Payless was evaluating its structure. In mid-November, 170 employees were laid off. That came after another 165 employees were laid off in January, and information technology jobs were outsourced. Jeremy House reporting.
Macy's says its executive chairman, Terry Lundgren, who stepped down as CEO in March, will retire from the board effective January 31st. The company says its board has appointed Jeff Jeanette, who succeeded Lundgren in his CEO spot, to the additional role as chairman. Like many department stores, Macy's is facing many challenges wrestling with shoppers' changing habits. More on these stories at townhall.com. CNN has corrected a story that suggests the Trump campaign had been tipped off early about WikiLeaks documents damaging to Hillary Clinton.
A CNN story on Friday morning said the Trump campaign was told about the hacked DNC documents in an email on September 4, 2016. But the network later learned that the alert was about documents already publicly available. The Washington Post revealed that the email message was actually sent 10 days later, on September 14th. CNN is one of President Trump's favorite targets, often calling them fake news. Greg Clugston, Washington.
The Boston Herald declaring Chapter 11 bankruptcy and has agreed to be sold to New York-based Gatehouse Media. The daily newspaper, founded in 1846, cites pension liabilities, declining revenue, digital media, and growing competition for the decision. The paper will, though, continue day-to-day operations. News and analysis at townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
Well, hello again. Boomer Tech Radio, Hour 2 of our weekly broadcast / podcast. I'm Bob Belongi.
And I'm Brenda Belongi.
And we are Analog Living in a Digital World. You want to pick up the podcast? Easy to do. Go to boomertechradio.com and you can download the podcast or just listen to it on your device of choice. If you want to automate the process and you happen to have a podcast app such as the iTunes or the Apple Podcast application on your iDevice, or you have Google Play Store and you have your selection of podcast applications there, or you have the Stitcher app, any of those, you can subscribe to Boomer Tech Radio and hear the show at your convenience. Of course, we like it when people listen live, and we are being encouraged to try to do the show live a little bit more. Henceforth, our presence here in the sumptuous studios of KCNR 1460 in the heart of downtown Reading. The throbbing heart, yes. So back to what we were talking about earlier. One of the questions we got asked recently, Brenda, and help me out here with some of the details because the noise level was just killing me. We were asked about a tablet for an older adult because
right, with visual impairment.
With visual impairment, and most any tablet with an e-reader function on it, you can make the font as big as you want.
Right. So if the person can handle the print copy, say, of the Reader's Digest with large print, you can easily do that on your tablet as well, the digital version of that.
Now, in the Kindle e-reader, say on my Samsung phone, all you do is place two fingers on the screen and spread them apart to pinch out.
Yeah.
And that will enlarge the font.
Which then adjusts to the size of the screen.
Correct. On other devices.
So it's not like you have to move the text around on the screen. It will just, because of the larger text, it'll just have fewer words on the screen at a time.
On other devices, tap the screen and look at the top to see if you can see the menu, which is generally three dots
three bars.
Or three bars. or it may actually have simply an icon with a big A and little a and then a plus minus.
Right.
And you can tap that to increase or decrease screen. You can also change the from a white background to a sepia background, or you can go white lettering on a dark background, whatever your choice is. Most e-readers will give you that ability. And some people can read the light letters on a dark background easier for the same reason why it is easier to read blueprints that are in that format. You still see that sometimes.
Mm-hmm.
So there you go. Now, we were asked, what is the one tablet that somebody might want to look at? And hands down, my choice remains a Kindle Fire HD. Not as capable as, say, a Samsung or an iPad or any of those, but within the Amazon ecosystem, especially if you've got Prime, for one device that will give you a lot of functionality at a
dirt cheap price.
Or throwaway price.
Right.
Hard to beat a Kindle Fire. If you want something fairly compact, go with a 7, or you can go with an 8 that's about the size of a handheld book. Very readable, very beautiful screen. Or if you want a closer to a tablet experience, go with the 10-inch. And in the case of this gentleman with the visual impairment, I would have gone with a 10-inch so that you could make the font nice and big like the Reader's Digest Big Print Edition.
Right. Also consider the fact that folks that are visually impaired and love to read books, not going to have this for technical books, although I'm sure that there's more and more of that, but there's the audiobook options.
Audible narration, yes.
Right, and there are different apps for that or different sources for that to be able to take advantage of that and be able to hear a book. So think books on tape, right. Except, of course, this is the digital version of that where it's imminently pack-aroundable. You don't have to spend a lot of money on a fancy tablet because if that's all you're going to be pretty much doing, is reading and that sort of thing or surfing the web, don't spend a lot of money on a fancy iPad or something like that. If you're going to be doing those sorts of things, there are plenty of very, very affordable tablets out there that are a reasonable size that'll work. And just because you have an iPad, for instance, doesn't mean that you can't get the Kindle app. For
Correct.
That iPad, they have an iOS version of the Kindle to be able to put on there. So you don't necessarily need a Kindle tablet, Amazon tablet, to use that service.
Yeah. Now, here's a beautiful thing. I have, of course, my Galaxy Note 8. I have my Samsung Tab E. I have my iPad 12.9 inch. And I have the Kindle app on all three, and I have the books that I can download, the same book to all three, and it will sync across the devices. So if I leave off on a certain page on the Note, the next time I open the Kindle app on my Samsung, it will jump ahead to
where you last left off.
Where I last left off.
And you go, now how does that work?
Well, it bookmarks up in the cloud.
Of course. That's right. It takes cloud connectivity to do that. It's not that the devices are talking to each other. Mm-hmm. It's that they're talking to the app on the cloud. So the next time you open the app on whatever other device, it goes out to the cloud and it gets that information.
Yeah, what was the latest page?
What was the latest page? And you're tapping into that resource. The app will get you to the cloud.
Now, we got a heck of a deal from Verizon on my Tab E Samsung 7-inch. With 4G connectivity. And I think...
Tablet was $75.
Yeah, the tablet was $75. Of course, that's with a 2-year commitment.
Yes.
But we were
able... to be like cell phones.
Yeah. But we were able to tie that into our data plan. So we didn't have to add on to an additional data plan.
Right.
And it gives us... The nice thing about the Tab E is that if I don't want to haul the $1,000 iPad around, it gives me a tablet device. And that's why I would recommend for somebody who's traveling, maybe a kid, something like that, I would recommend either the 8-inch or 10-inch Amazon Fire tablet, because for less than $150, you get a nice featured tablet. You can do word processing. You can you have a pretty serviceable browser, and you can check your email. Mm-hmm. No, you're not going to get all the
functionality of a laptop.
You're not going to get all of the Android apps, because
that
it's
too.
A limited subset of the Android ecosystem.
Right.
But you get a lot of functionality in a cheap package that looks really good.
Portable.
And is very, very portable. Great battery life as well. So, last-minute shopping.
Ah, yes. Well, it's not quite last-minute shopping, but it's getting there, because if you go on Amazon and you look at the orders, like, you know, they'll tell you whether you can get something by Christmas or not. Mm-hmm. Or, and a lot of times, of course, as you get closer to Christmas, then you have to pay the extra shipping to make sure it gets to you. I don't know what you do if you pay for that shipping and it still doesn't get to you, because I've had that experience as well. They promise it by and it doesn't show up. Then what? You're kind of stuck. You
now,
paid for it, something you didn't get.
Now, of course, check local if you've got the option. There's like one place in this town where you can get some of these things, if they've got it at all. But again, order early if you want need to have this thing by Christmas. Here's a few products, and I happen to agree. Now, this was a really bad year for news, but it was quiet for gadgets. Nothing earth-shattering came through, but refinements of a lot of existing product lines. Great new headphones, a drone that just about anybody can handle, and more devices to simplify your online life. So let's run down the list here, and maybe here's a couple of gift ideas. Nintendo's first new console in 5 years came out in March. It's both a home console system and a portable console. That would be the Nintendo Switch. For $300, it has a lot of excellent games, so you can haul this thing around with you, then take it home and plug it into the big screen and leave on where you left off. So it's very, very powerful. The games include Super Mario Odyssey, great for you. So if you're a nostalgia nut and you remember playing Mario Brothers on the old NES consoles years and years ago, this is a great product, the Nintendo Switch.
Next is the DJI Spark, which is a drone. And what I find interesting in this article, which is posted on Boomer Tech Flipboard page, is that a lot of these brands are ones that we tend to favor personally. DJI has a lot of very smart designs in their drones. We had occasion to see some of their full suite of DJI drones at CES.
And we have done a video project where we had a friend bring out his DJI drone.
Right.
Gave us stunning footage that we couldn't have gotten any other way.
Right. And they have a full spectrum of easy to use, very affordable, you know, personal use, just kind of have fun, almost like a toy type of drone. I don't know why I'm having such trouble getting the word drone out here. But they also have some very heavy-duty industrial ones that cost tens of thousands of dollars that are, you know, for heavy-duty tasks. So the DJI Spark is one it might be into, worth looking into if you have someone who's after a drone for Christmas.
Has a simple dedicated controller, also has a smartphone app, or be programmed to follow your hand movements.
And it's cool. In the $400 range.
Next up, for some people, this was the smartphone of the year. Yes, Apple got all the press, but the Galaxy Note 8, which we decided on, well, let me put it this way. My wife decided on the Galaxy Note 8 because they made her a pretty good deal, Brenda.
I did not even have to tweak your arm about that, so don't blame me completely.
So what do you? So we've had our Note 8s now for about 4 months,
something on that order, 4 to 6 months.
Yeah.
I forget exactly when we do that. 6 months sounds about right. And I have to admit that there's a lot about it that I like. There's a lot about it that I don't even know how to use yet. And I think this is a device that's going to set us up well for quite some time, and we'll have a lot of longevity. So that's good because we're stuck with it for at least 2 years.
Big, beautiful screen. It takes fantastic videos, including 4K videos.
And we did end up with a pretty smoking deal to get into these. Otherwise, they're somewhere in the neighborhood of $800.
About $950, according to this article.
Oh, okay. Well, that's on par with the iPhone 10, but still. The Amazon Echo and company, the Google Home, have new smart speakers. They've upgraded the capabilities of these, the way they sound, the size, made them quite handy. We have one of each in the house. We weren't really looking to buy a Google Home, although we were curious about it. But we ended up with one because we had purchased one for a friend, and they decided they didn't want it. It wasn't going to work for what they wanted it to do. And so we said, well, since we already have it, let's just see what's going on. And, you know, Google is a very powerful search engine, and that is reflected in this smart speaker, the power of OK Google is in this device. And it fired off a whole bunch of things in here.
And our phones just kicked on. Hey, now, if you have a Google Home, you can get for $199 the Sonos One speaker, which is a connected speaker. And the Google Home will control the speaker, give you much better sound, although...
Right, than the built-in speaker.
I do have to say that I was impressed by the music quality coming out of our Echo the other night, which is a first-generation Echo. It was marvelous sound.
It's pretty darn good. I mean, what's nice about this, sort of like a stereo addition, a speaker system, so you can actually get... higher fidelity sound out of this thing using the just voice commands even. So it's a whole different world when compared to when I bought my first stereo system back in the mid-80s, late-80s actually. And I never have had vinyl because I never had a turntable. I bought all CDs. And that was a big thing, these big honking speakers, you know, that we're thinking about selling actually because of the way technology has changed.
At the other end of the scale, earbuds have gotten to the point where they are actually pretty nice. Apple's AirPods are now down to $160. Smartest, simplest devices that Apple has released in quite some time. Samsung has made the Gear Iconics earpods for about $150. Fitbit, I think, has earbuds for about $130. These are some pretty nice wireless earbuds with decent battery life. The concern I have about is if you're in an environment where you're sweating a lot, how likely is this thing to come flopping out of your ear and get stepped on?
Or broken, or lost, or something like that. You know, and there are people who would say, well, how does that work in the sense that, you know, wireless, which of course requires some sort of signal, Bluetooth signal to come in. I assume it's based on Bluetooth.
Yeah.
And so some people say, well, I don't want that kind of signal near my head all the time. It's probably not terribly powerful, first of all.
Yeah, because it has a maximum range of about 10 feet, give or take.
Yeah, the jury is way out on how all of that's going to work anyway.
Bluetooth is nominally good out to about 30 feet, but I imagine for the earbuds it scales down quite a bit.
I meant is they don't want those radio waves close to their head. Well, that's what I meant. The jury's out on that.
Yeah, don't own a smartphone if that is a concern.
Well, that's true, too. Well, or I put mine on speaker fairly often. Just because I'm lazy.
360-degree cameras. Now, I've got a Samsung Gear 360 that I have started to play with. Another good all-round camera is the Rylo.
We had talked about the Rylo on a show.
The Rylo 360.
Long time ago.
The question is, do you really need a 360 camera? It's kind of a niche thing because in order to get a 360 view, there's a lot of distortion. But for certain sports things... especially in the case of if you're doing some action sports, a 360 camera has some pretty cool features.
At a $500 price point, you may want to ask yourself, do you really need to do that? But you know that like any of these technologies, they will improve with time and become cheaper, I'm sure. And pretty soon, that's probably how, you know, your home videos are going to include this 360 view. And if you don't have it, people are going to say, well, you know, what was behind you? And so there's sort of some artificial 360 type things you can do with apps in your smartphone camera, but I found it's not full 360.
Right, it's right. It's kind of stitched.
Stitched together.
So if you are one of those folks who got yourself a Galaxy Note or a Galaxy S8 smartphone and during this past year, you can turn that phone into a full-fledged desktop computer. How? With the Samsung DeX, D-E-X. Big D, little E, capital X. It is a charging cradle that it also has USB ports and a HDMI port on the back of it. You drop your phone into this thing, and it puts it up on the flat screen of your choice with a full desktop experience. Harnessing the power, and there's a lot of power in the S8 and, of course, the Note 8, as much as a personal computer had just a couple of years ago.
All that for $150.
For $150. And if something like this becomes a standard, as USB has become, imagine being able to just carry your office or home computer around in your pocket at all times, and when you need the larger interface, you look for the docking station.
Yep. And that, so a computer really is what you hold in your hand, and any interface you have via keyboard, mouse, or screen is simply peripheral hardware.
Now, I've got the 12.9 iPad Pro, which they've actually scaled that back in the latest set of releases. Apple's flagship iPad Pro is 10.5 inches, so they sacrificed a little bit of real estate for an easier-to-handle size screen. The 10.5 iPad Pro has a pretty fair amount of power. You can add $260 for a keyboard cover and about $100 for a stylus. Now you've got a machine that you can type on, you can sketch on, extremely powerful processor, and running with iOS 11, of course, you can now move files around just like you can on your big computer. The iPad Pro is priced at about $650 for the entry-level unit.
So for $900-ish, you can have this very portable, very capable computer, basically. Yeah.
So we were talking about VR headsets.
Right.
And here's the offering from...
Another one to consider is you have the Samsung Gear, but there's also the Samsung Odyssey. What's interesting, you know, keep in mind that virtual reality, as I mentioned, is still in its infancy, meaning that there's not a lot of content, but there's more growing every day. And if now on America's Funniest Home Videos, I noticed an episode we happened to catch recently, there's now a segment for people with VR headsets on,
either
tripping over things
or
freaking out or what have you, trying to react to what they're seeing. And there is a feature that you can get associated with this that is essentially a set of cameras that allow the headset to sense where you are in the real world, not just what you're seeing, but where you are in the real world. So you can actually walk around in the VR and not bump into something in the real world, fall over the couch or the table, coffee table or something like that. And
I see the game room of the future having some geometric shapes in it. Your AR headset will map things, like Holodeck,
right,
will map things onto these
right
shapes.
Yep. There's apparently the Oculus Rift does not have this kind of a feature available. And there's also the HTC Vive, which is another one that's out there. Those both do not quite have your bases covered with this sort of thing. So, you know, there's advancements going on with all of this stuff.
There is a bit of a tiff going on between... Oops, I just lost the thread of my story. There we go. Let's try this now. This week, a tiff arising between, surprise, Google and Amazon.
Oh, gee. Like that's never happened
public
before.
Public spat between the two of the world's largest tech companies. Google users are no longer able to get, Amazon users can't get YouTube on their devices anymore. So they're doing a little bit of tit for tat. The YouTube app has been pulled from the Fire TV and Echo Show. I expect that I may lose And I'll be very upset if this happens. The Kindle app might be pulled off my Google, my Android phone. That would be tragic.
Oh,
I
for
bet
a while.
It will disappear off the Pixel.
Yeah, it might, but it'll be back eventually.
Yeah, they'll get this all worked out.
They always do.
They'll realize they are cutting off their noses to spite their collective faces there.
Yep, the they always straighten these things out. It has to do with, follow the money.
Yeah. Now, Amazon doesn't care. You cannot go on Amazon and order, a Chromecast or a Google Home. You can't get Prime Video on a Google Cast. Amazon isn't selling. You can't go on Amazon and buy a Nest. So,
well, that's just some proprietary type of stuff. There,
yeah.
You know, I mean, that concept is not unusual. Yeah. It's like look at like Netflix or Hulu or whatever. They all have contracts with different providers. Where do you go to get Disney? Disney wasn't on anybody's for a while. And I think they're going back and doing things. So anyway,
yeah. Amazon has also pulled the opportunities to buy the Apple TV, saying if you want an Apple TV, go to Apple. If you're on our stuff, you're going to buy our stuff. And
right.
I think this sort of contest will eventually self-destruct.
Well, the consumers are not
worked out.
Yeah,
the consumers will say, "Come on, guys, play nice." You know, there won't be one ecosystem to rule them all. At least that's my hope. Hey, bottom of the hour break on Boomer Tech Radio. We've got when we come back, interesting article about keeping kids safe online. Big concern for a lot of parents as more kids are getting into their devices.
And they will get new devices under the Christmas tree this year.
Good, honest, reliable. More than two decades ago, an auto repair shop opened in Reading based on those simple principles. Advanced Automotive is still family-owned, continuing on with those same ideals. So simple, yet rare in today's world. Modern cars and light trucks have grown more complex in the past 20-plus years, but those founding concepts still hold just as much importance when it comes to safety, reliability, and value for your dollar. Advanced Automotive of Reading promises that your vehicle will be serviced confidently by a technician with the training and knowledge to make professional repairs. Read what your friends and neighbors have to say about Advanced Automotive by going to RepairPal.com, where you can get an instant estimate of what you can expect to pay for your service or repair. Honest work at a fair price. It's not all that complicated. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 244-4423, or stop by 5756 F West Side Road.
This is Terry Oxley, pastor of True Life Church in Bella Vista. Merry Christmas from all of us at True Life Church. We pray that you have a wonderful celebration of the birth of Jesus Christ. This is a great country that from the beginning was established with freedom of religion, a freedom to worship God as you choose. We are also thankful for the Constitution and its rule of law, and a hearty thanks to the people who were and are willing to give their life and live their life to make and keep this country free. If you are looking for a no-nonsense church that's not afraid to talk about current issues and yet teaches the Bible, I invite you to be our guest. Our Sunday services are at 10 a.m. We are located on Deschutes Road, one block south of Highway 299 in Bella Vista. You can visit our website at truelifereading.com. We hope to see you soon, and remember, it's worth the ride.
Not all solar companies are the same. Neither are all solar installations. Hi, I'm Bruce Blake, president of Powerhouse Solar. Your solar design should be based upon what gives your family the best results, not what is easiest to install. Ground rack, roof mount, sun tracker, you name it. Powerhouse Solar does it all. But not all solar companies offer all these options. Powerhouse Solar is a SunPower Elite dealer, which means your family is getting the best, most efficient solar panel on the market, combined with a system design and installation that fits your exact energy needs. And let's face it, a cookie cutter system can not only cost you more in the long run, but be less efficient. Since 2003, Powerhouse Solar has been your solar energy expert. Let us design the perfect SunPower solar energy system for your family. Call Powerhouse Solar today and let us show you how to get the power of the sun working for you.
One of the most important tenets of your life is ensuring that your loved ones are cared for even after you're gone. Having a will is important, but can be bogged down in probate court for years. What are your options? Douglas Wright, attorney at law, specializes in estate planning and probate matters. Does a living trust solve all your legal concerns? Douglas Wright will guide you through the many legal aspects of planning for your future and the future of your loved ones. Douglas Wright Law, a professional corporation, 530-243-6000 or Douglas Wright Law.
Hello, this is Chad David from Orchard Nutrition Center. I want to wish all of our veterans and military for their years of service. We know this is a hard time of the year, not seeing your families and loved ones. From all of us at Orchard Nutrition Center, we want to wish you a Merry Christmas and a Happy New Year.
It takes you to your place of work. It gets your kids to school, practice, recitals, and to visit friends and relatives. It takes you on your adventures, and it brings you home again safely. It's your car or light truck, and for most of us, it's our second biggest investment. So when your vehicle needs routine maintenance or major repairs, it just makes sense to go with the very best. Here in Shasta County, that means one thing: Advanced Automotive. Advanced Automotive is Redding's only shop that's listed on RepairPal.com, part of a nationwide network of shops that are regularly evaluated for superior training, guaranteed fair prices, and excellent customer reviews. And Advanced Automotive backs up their work with something you won't get anywhere else, a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty. Don't just take my word for it. Log on to RepairPal.com, enter your make, model and zip code, and read what your friends and neighbors have to say. Advanced Automotive, 5756 F West Side Road in Redding, 244-4423.
Welcome back. One more segment on the Boomer Tech Radio Broadcast Podcast. We are the Boomer Techies.
Ooh.
So we have been dubbed by Joe and Lainey.
Oh, no,
Boomer
no.
Techies.
I guess we could be called worse.
Yes, indeed. Thank you very much, guys. And, of course, if you want to write in, folks, boomertechradio@gmail.com or go to boomertechradio.com and check out the past episodes. You can also do that at kcnr1460.com/archives or subscribe through your favorite podcast application. Now, we do hear a lot of horror stories about kids running afoul of malware, of stranger danger, of general being exposed to porn.
Predation of some kind.
Predation of some type. Parents can get very, very paranoid and wind up trying to isolate everything. It's almost impossible to completely isolate unless you have an absolutely tech-free house. There's a middle ground. You don't tell the kid, no smartphone until you're 18, because this is a different world than it was when you and I were growing up, Brenda. It is possible to forbid your kid from having any technology, but that's not a solution.
No, and it's not very practical.
Because you're putting them at a disadvantage.
Exactly, yeah. You know, it's such a digital world now. Everything, the assumption is... for instance, I recently got a jury summons, and you cannot talk to these people. There's no, you know, to talk to a clerk. You have to go online and ask a question. Well, what if you're someone like my mom who does not have access online? You can fax things to them, but, you know, you can't do this from home unless you have this online presence. And I think there's a way to leave a voicemail for the clerks, but still, it's just assumed that everyone has this access.
It has become ubiquitous.
You can go, you have to go to the court clerk's office in person. Well, what if you live clear across the county?
Well, that's not that different than it used to be. You had no way to. You had to show up no matter what.
So. Well, you could call them, but now you don't even...
Can't even call. Yeah.
Yeah, you can't call them. You get recordings.
Voicemail has become a big thing. Hey, you heard the phone ring.
Yes.
And we picked up the line, and we have Fred. Fred, yes, the show is live today, and you are on it. You are live on the air right now. Welcome to Boomer Tech Radio. You got a question, comment, what?
Yeah, Merry Christmas to both of you. I'm sorry I got into the show late. I bought an older... 2009 Mac Pro from OWC.
Yes, great. Otherworld Computing, great company.
Right. And my problem was when I got it home and stuff, it wasn't like all the... We've always been Macs since like the 80s or whatever, and I'd figured it'd have like two ports in the back for displays or monitors. This is one... I've got nothing that fits it. And I'm wondering, do you know what company I can go to get like an adapter from an Apple Cinema display to put on the end of that to put it to hook it up onto to the back of this 2009 Mac that was refurbished
okay.
and jacked up?
Now I've got a 2008, so it's going to be fairly similar. Big aluminum box and probably has a video card in it. And on the video card, probably the output is one or two DVI connectors. And those are usually white, about an inch wide, quarter inch high, with a lot of very small pins, and then a flat pin. Does that sound like the connector that you've got on
the
back?
And yeah, and one almost looks like a T on the very end.
I mean,
it's really small and stuff. And like I said,
that's
we've
a DVI connector.
Apples for all these years, and... all these different monitors and stuff, and I can't find anything that'll match up to it, and I don't want to, buy
now,
another display.
Your cinema display, I think you can get an HDMI adapter for the cinema display, if I'm not mistaken. It doesn't just have DisplayPort on it. Barring that, you should be able to obtain an adapter to go from DVI to DisplayPort. If you Google that, because the key thing here is that is a DVI, that's the older digital video interface that you still run into from time to time. Some monitors still have that connector on them. But the key here is that HDMI and DVI are very similar in the way they handle video. So HDMI, of course, is the connector we have on all our big screen televisions.
Yeah.
Now, the Apple Cinema Display probably has a display port, which is like a Thunderbolt port, but there are adapters.
Yeah, there's like, I noticed on the back of it, there's like two, looks like USB ports on the back of it, and I was never sure what those were.
Those might be FireWire, given the age of that machine. Here's another thing you can do. You should have an open slot for a video card.
Okay.
And do a little Googling, and you should be able to find a card that will fit into a slot on the back of that Mac Pro that will give you a DisplayPort output.
Okay, well, thank you very much for that information, and thank you. You guys were live this weekend.
It's a little daunting sometimes to wade through the information when you Google these things, but be persistent, and you should be able to find the answer to your question.
Because you're not the only person who's ever had this problem.
Exactly.
Well, I know. I was just going to say, I got a killer deal on this.
Yeah.
It's been like 3 years since I bought it.
And I got that.
As soon as I opened it up, I was looking and saying, I've got no monitor or display to hook it up.
Okay.
And what do I do?
You can get a cable that will go from the DVI to an HDMI. Several people make that cable.
Yep.
You can get that off of Amazon for like $4.
I know that for sure because we have similar adaptability issues between older models and monitors and newer models of computers that work in, there's all kinds of adapters out there.
Yeah. So try that DVI to HDMI, and then you can plug into any flat screen, okay?
All right. Thank you.
You're very welcome.
Have a good day.
All right. And that's one of the things we should probably go back on a lot of that alphabet soup on displays, because time was, all you had to worry about was the VGA connector, the little 15-pin, half-inch by quarter-inch high connector. Well, as time evolved, as these the DVI connector was sort of a bridging technology, and you can actually get an adapter to go from a DVI, digital video interface, to a VGA. We can't go back the other direction. But it's very easy to find a cable, and you can pick them up off of Amazon. You can probably go get it down at Best Buy. It's a cable. One end is a male DVI, and the other end is a male HDMI.
Look online. The cables are cheaper.
Yeah. So back to kids being safe online.
Yep.
How much time do we have? We've got about 15 minutes left.
The big thing with this is there are a lot of apps or software you can load on to have parental controls over where your kids can go online. But really there's a more fundamental analog solution to this, and that is, when parents were raising us, Bob, they didn't have to worry about this digital world. Mm-hmm. They taught us about a lot of other things, but now parents have to make their children digitally aware.
When you reached a certain age, when I reached a certain age, our parents sat us down and explained a little thing called the facts of life.
Right.
And this is not unlike the facts of life.
The list is longer
the
now.
The list is slightly longer now. Yep. So you have to teach your kids the facts of digital life. You can't just hide this stuff, pretend it doesn't exist. You need to inform yourself as a parent and be ready to answer the hard questions.
And this is not a case of educating about the consequences of what could happen and all the dangers.
Yeah,
of
don't
that
make
sort of
it
thing.
A scare thing. It's just like using scare tactics to your kids aren't curious about sex. Well, guess what? You made them more curious.
Right. That's human nature, right? Yeah. So if you can...
Don't be confrontational.
Teach them, well, don't be... according to this article, it works much better if they feel like they're learning something, then they're much more engaged.
Correct.
And retention is much higher. So you definitely have to teach them about how to protect themselves and what kind of tools are in place. It also means that parents have to be aware of what's going on out there. You can't hide under a rock. And this bleeds into grandparents as well. Of our generation or even older did not grow up around tech and don't think like, the nasty people do. And so there's a lot to learn. You know, computers these days require a great deal of maintenance. Any connection you have, you know, your information is being mined right and left. And it's important to have some knowledge about how to protect themselves. Also, from what I've read about this issue, children don't have the discretionary skills that adults do. They can't sometimes tell what doesn't make sense and what's bogus and what's real. It's sort of like getting the call from Microsoft and they want in your computer. If you're not aware of how that works, then you may give them permission and then you just lost control of your computer.
Yep.
You'll be ransomed or something of that nature. But anyone who's fairly aware of these types of schemes that are out there will be very skeptical of that. And that's what we're talking about and educating folks about that.
Let me see here. Dave Lewis is a global security advocate at Akamai Technologies. Makes a couple of points. This article came to us via Wired Magazine. Lewis says, and I agree with this, there is no reason on God's green earth for a 7 or 8 year old to have a Facebook or Twitter account. There is none. Zero, zip, nada.
In fact, research shows that those accounts are not particularly helpful.
They're also against the terms of service. You have to
That's
be 16
true.
Or older
yes.
to even have a Facebook account.
Which doesn't mean there aren't plenty of folks, because they just ask you, are you 18 years of age or older? You can bogus your birth date. You can do all kinds of things to get an account, and it makes it look like that, you know, you're of legitimate age.
Now, there's some specific tools that you can use to. Now, and also, one more thing about proud parents. I understand how proud you are. I have an acquaintance, a friend from many years ago, who's a leading-edge millennial mom. And she has been posting pictures of her kid from the time the kid could walk practically on her Facebook account. She doesn't turn off the geotags. She's always got backgrounds that somebody could look at. And it gives me the willies. And she thinks it can't happen to her. And I'm not saying be scared. I'm not saying be very afraid.
No, it's being smart.
Prudent.
Yeah. Yeah. Prudent and smart.
If you have to post a picture of your child, turn off the geotag on your phone. It's real easy. You go into the settings and turn off location settings.
Yep.
Boom.
Simple.
Because otherwise, when you take a picture with your smartphone, the exact location you happen to be standing in when you took that picture is encoded into the picture. And anybody with the software can read it back out. No less a person than Adam from MythBusters found that out the hard way.
Yeah.
He took a picture of his car in his driveway, and people started driving up to his house.
Yes, definitely. That's just not something you want. So there's, again, software that you can get in there that does things like control who can be contacting your child or contacting an account. There's just even some simple basic security tools that most adults would use can be are best applied to children as well.
And on the phone right now with us, let's check. Okay, we've got about 10 minutes to top of the hour. Lori, welcome to Boomer Tech Radio, and you had something about kids and Facebook Messenger, which I have a problem with Facebook Messenger anyway.
I am in such 1,000% agreement on caution, danger, danger. This is another way to map the children, get some history. I am not on Facebook, but I'm a clinician therapist, and I listen to your show all the time. Never quiz me on anything because I am not techie, but I listen to you and Brenda and just try to absorb what's happening and tracking just on a societal level, not just the benefits of obviously doing things more efficiently. So thank you. I hope you can follow up on this Messenger Kids thing with Facebook. Yeah.
But obviously, do you remember, Lori, when we were growing up that television was going to turn us all into zombies?
Yes, yes, I did. I'm about to be 60 real soon, so we probably have the same sense of humor on things and whatever else. But, Bob, Brenda, I mean, how many parents really and truly can trust the Disney Channel, Nickelodeon, Sesame Street with this Julia autistic Muppet that we're supposed to accept it as being unique and different and just being creative? That's kind of a vaccine-injured Muppet, so they're doing weird things. We already know MTV was a little strange way back with, you know, the sexuality and...
I never got the MTV thing anyway because I'm kind of a realist.
Well, there is no music.
Yeah, well the music and the visuals didn't match, so I found myself going, what?
Yeah.
So you know, I was never a fan of that either. You're not missing anything by not being on Facebook, quite frankly. I've found that follow very few people.
I've had so many people in the beginning just, you know, men in tears. I'm like, seriously, there's something so horrid.
Well, most people don't post original stuff.
We,
they regurgitate.
We've got just enough time when we finish this article about a very famous actress you're about to see hit big screens all over the country who is abandoning her social media. We'll get into that in just a minute. Lori, we're going to move along.
Wow, thank you so much. I appreciate it.
All right. Take care.
Yeah, real quick, though, let's finish this up. You can use NetNanny, Custido, some basic security tools. Make sure you got your firewall put in. If you don't know how to do a firewall, get someone who does. Have antivirus on your computers. Make sure your software is patched. You can block access to certain sites through your router. If you don't know how to do it yourself, look it up.
Well, and then all of the callers comment about television. And growing up with television, how many of us had limited screen time?
Yeah.
And this is no different in today's world. Is that television maybe is just one of the screens that children are exposed to. And so limit your kids' screen time, which then limits their potential exposure.
Absolutely.
As well. I'm sure that – and that's – I'm, you know, not a parent but in the digital age, but I this seems pretty sensible. And, of course, parents – you know, can't have your kids doing what you're not doing type of thing. But so that's, you know, so I'm not going to tell anybody how to raise their kids.
Call me a dinosaur, but I don't Instagram. I don't tweet, although I do have a Twitter account. I've used it a couple of times at CES, and that was about it because I don't have time to post.
I don't have time to keep track of all that stuff.
I do have a Facebook account, but I use it for two things. I check on what a couple of friends of mine are doing. And I post information about Boomer Tech Radio. And that's about it for my Facebook involvement, because the damn thing's like roadkill. It also eats your battery if you're on an Android device. So I have it on my tablet. But I severely control. And folks, don't spam me on the Facebook Messenger, because I will delete your sorry behind. Boom, you're out of here. Okay, so coming up, movie on my list, of course, along with half of the world, the Star Wars The Last Jedi. Actress Daisy Ridley, who is Rey,
right,
has said that becoming famous as a result of the movie...
The girl Jedi.
The girl Jedi.
Yes.
Yes,
the
main
young,
character.
The main character, the young female Jedi,
yeah.
Yes.
She's 25 years old now. She has quit her Instagram account. In an interview with Radio Times, Ridley said she did it because of how bad social media is for mental health. Ridley says, the more I read about teenage anxiety, the more I think it's unhealthy. She says it's a weird thing for young people to look at distorted images of the things they should be. Now, of course, her big break came in 2014. She was cast in The Force Awakens. Before that, she'd had some minor roles. She says life suddenly got different after being cast in the Star Wars films.
You think?
She says, I'm definitely recognized more, but I find the whole taking pictures thing weird. She would rather actually talk to somebody than to have somebody run up, stick up a camera and take a
selfie.
Snap a selfie. Yeah. She says, I'd rather talk to the person. People run up, take the picture, and run away. Ridley deleted her social media
crazy.
In September. She is doing the same as Adele, Sheeran, and Justin Bieber. They've all deleted their various accounts after being overwhelmed by the online world, mostly by troll people. The trolls in Twitter are just horrible.
Vicious.
Yeah.
Absolutely vicious things.
And so if I were a famous celebrity, you bet, I would have somebody handle it for me, but I wouldn't look at the damn thing.
I don't even post on Facebook very much.
So, big problems for people who have invested in so-called smart luggage. What is smart? Kind of a handy idea, smart luggage. It was a roller bag with a built-in battery.
Yeah.
So that you could charge your device without having to fight for the one outlet that's available in the airport waiting area.
Right.
Right?
Well, there's a potential problem with that. First of all, any of those kind of batteries are not allowed in checked-in baggage.
Yep.
So how are the batteries removable in most of these cases? Because you can charge it outside of the suitcase. So you may have to put it in carry-on. But even in carry-on, there are limits as to how big a battery you can bring on board. And that information is readily available through TSA and airline websites and that sort of thing.
They don't want these things in the battery in the hold, because a non-removable battery is probably fairly large. Bigger than the limit for a lithium battery in an airplane cabin is 10,000 milliamp hours.
Something like that.
Something along those lines. Brenda can look. And Brenda's run into this because we've got a couple of good-sized battery packs. You can carry, I think your total can only be 10,000 milliamp hours, which is enough to recharge your average smartphone one or two times.
Yeah.
You want to stick with a major brand. There are some brands that are prone to overheating. We've got a couple of them. We've got our Green Energy. We've got our Sony packs, which are a couple of years old now and still going pretty strong. But rather than a big honking rechargeable in your roll-on bag, and this is going to be a problem, too, with power bags, which are becoming a thing.
They are... 100 watt hours.
100 watt, which is a pretty good size battery. That's a big laptop battery.
That's the limit. So anything above that is restricted. So I think you're right. You can convert that to milliamps. And how that works. So I can probably make that happen.
Yeah. So the problem is, of course, what's going on with lithium-ion batteries and the prone to overheat. You don't want something that there have been cases of these batteries overheating on board an aircraft, causing smoke. And imagine this happening down in the baggage hold where you couldn't get to it and possibly bringing an aircraft down because of a battery issue. That could be some very, very bad juju. Hey, that is about it for this week's episode of Boomer Tech Radio. We want to thank the folks who called in. We want to thank the folks who write. Once again, boomertechradio@gmail.com. Boomer Tech Radio, gmail.com. Write in with show suggestions. Give us some kudos. Point out what we're not quite doing right. Also, subscribe to the podcast.
Why so negative? Let us know what we're doing well.
Yeah. We don't do a lot on Twitter or Facebook. We will let people know when the next show is coming out. In the meantime, wherever you go, whatever you do, be safe, be good to each other, and I'm going to say it, Merry Christmas.
From working families to small businesses or government agencies, it's important to have quality care for the cars and light trucks that are essential to getting the job done. Here in the North State, that means Advanced Automotive of Reading, where they pride themselves on old-fashioned honesty, quality personal attention, and personal responsibility to get the work done right the first time. Why else would they be able to offer a 24-month, 24,000-mile warranty on their repairs? Every mechanic at Advanced Automotive is an ASC-certified master technician who takes pride in their work, something that's earned Advanced Automotive recognition from RepairPal.com, the leading provider of auto repair and maintenance information to consumers. From the family minivan, your daughter's first car, or a yard full of company vehicles, Advanced Automotive should be your go-to repair shop. Advanced Automotive of Reading, 5756 F Westside Road. Call 244-4423 or check the customer reviews at RepairPal.com.
You're listening to KCNR 1460, community talk radio for the North State. This is KCNR, Shasta, Reading.
News this hour from townhall.com. I'm Ron DeRockstra. In Israel, Israeli troops firing tear gas and other riot dispersals at Palestinian protesters following President Trump's recognition of Jerusalem this week as Israel's capital. Correspondent Aaron Heller reports the atmosphere remains tense and volatile.
We know that in Gaza, Hamas is calling for a third Palestinian uprising against Israel. They're hoping to capitalize on this tense situation to start violence against Israel. Right now, what we have is a lot of just anger.